Start of a new paper. Right at the beginning of paper 116, which is old single column, page 1268. And before we jump into this, let's get a little bit of a stage set again on where they're about to take us next. So we appreciate the process that's in play. If you just drop back to the third to the last paragraph, you know, right at the end of the previous paper, I want to just, it's right at the, you know, the bottom of 1266 for those in the single column there. Just wanted to remind us of what they, you know, the really valuable, you know, sort of pithy keywords that they gave us in that paragraph to help differentiate the aspects of the supreme as they're expressed in the finite. Okay, so they say, or he says, or she says, the mighty messenger says, God the Supreme does not appear to have been inevitable in unqualified infinity, but he seems to be on all relativity levels. Okay, so now that first sentence, you know, as soon as you see God the Supreme, remember we talked about this extensively when we were in the, when we went through total deity, you are should be automatically thinking unity perspective, top-down perspective, whenever you see God the, you know, X. You know, those are the unity expressions of personalized deity. So the sentence, you know, the paragraph starts right out in that, putting you in that top-down view. And so as you come down from the infinite, the absolute, through the absonite, and down onto the finite, as you're looking down from that top-down, there at the top of the finite, there in the, you know, in the lower domains of the absonite, we find the Supreme Being. He. And you can see, you know, immediately they're but he seems. See, they're immediately using the he. So that's the perspective. And then they say, you know, so, you know, let's look at, you know, just keep penetrating down. He is the indispensable focalizer, summarizer, and encompasser of evolutionary experience, effectively unifying the results of this mode of reality perception in his deity nature. Okay, so in this top-down view, remember that you are, you know, really taking time out of the picture. You know, you're trying to take the eternity viewpoint, and so the whole structure is there. You know, all of the absolute, all of the absonite, all of the finite, it's all just there. And you're moving down in your, you know, vantage point, in your view of the totality. You just notice how they phrased that. You know, this mode of reality perception, the finite mode of reality perception. I mean, they're trying to take you out of thinking in a simple temporal sequence, sort of a picture, and have the whole thing in play. You know, if we had an absonite mode of reality perception, then we would be viewing that absonite part of the whole picture, and we would see, we would experience the Supreme Being. You know, there he'd be, right in front of us. But we don't have an absonite mode of reality perception. We have a finite mode of reality perception. So out of this whole totality of reality, when we look to it, we look down in the finite, you know, we see what's down here in the finite domain. And down there in the finite, with the finite mode of reality perception, we don't see the Supreme Being. What do we see? We see the downstepped expression of that absonite fact. So, you know, up there in the absonite, you have this singular fact, the Supreme Being, this fact, you know, a power personality synthesized fact, a creature creator unified fact. But when you don't have that absonite mode of reality perception, what do you see? You see a focalizing fact, a summarizing fact, and an encompassing fact. Instead of that singular fact, you see three facts. Okay? That focalizing fact, that's the universal mother. The summarizing fact, it's the Almighty Supreme. The summarizing of the parts of power. The Almighty Supreme. And then the encompassing. That's the Supreme Mind, which we're going to get to here shortly. Okay? So this is just a great example. I mean, I know a few weeks back, you know, this kind of came up, this whole issue of how you try to hold the time viewpoint and the eternity viewpoint simultaneously in the picture. And, you know, they're trying to help you with it here. As a thought experiment, it's pretty straightforward. You can just imagine that it's all there. You know, project your thoughts forward in time, say it's all complete. Okay, now go back through it. And just recognize that the universe is actually like that. For those who have an absonite mode of reality perception, they see the Supreme Being. But we can't. We see this threefold expression. Okay, so that's where they want you to be when you start here, is having that picture that they've sort of teased you with. It's like, I'd love to be able to think about that a little bit more. And they take one more little step before they leave this paper. Not only is it can you think of the Almighty Supreme as a summarizing fact, but if you go to the beginning of that last paragraph, you know, they point out you can take it a step further, you know, literally a summating fact, making that summarization substance. Summating, remember we've talked about that ate suffix. Okay, so that's this initial tease that they have. We're looking down, we're seeing the Supreme Being, and then we're going to penetrate down, and we see as we go to the next paper, the title is the Almighty Supreme. So that's the next step that they're going to take in fleshing out this picture. And, you know, the first big question that you have then is, why that next? Why, when I started with the Supreme Being, is it logical to next go to the Almighty Supreme? And we'll see that as we unfold this. Now, the author, you know, this set of papers, knows full well that the readers have just plowed through, you know, this whole first Supreme paper. And they know that there's a big burning question in the reader's mind. Why on earth did you just subject me to that pain? Now, what is the point of all of this complexity? Why are you telling me this? What does this do to improve the character of my life? They know you have that question by now. One paper and your eyes are glazing over. So that's the very first thing that they do. Before they continue on, they give you a little respite, but a point that you can grab a hold of and start to understand why you would challenge yourself And like we said, did in our opening reflection, why would you challenge yourself to expand out and see if you can recognize, get your hands on a bigger part of the picture? Why all that, the effort to do that? So let's start reading and see what they do to help you out there.
Paper 116, The Almighty Supreme. If man recognized that his creators, his immediate supervisors, while being divine, were also finite, and that the God of time and space was an evolving, non-absolute deity, then would the inconsistencies of temporal inequalities cease to be profound religious paradoxes. No longer would religious faith be prostituted to the promotion of social smugness in the fortunate, while serving only to encourage stoical resignation in the unfortunate victims of social deprivation. When viewing the exquisitely perfect spheres of Havona, it is both reasonable and logical to believe they were made by a perfect, infinite, and absolute creator. But that same reason and logic would compel any honest being, when viewing the turmoil, imperfections, and inequalities of Urantia, to conclude that your world had been made by and was being managed by creators who were sub-absolute, pre-infinite, and other than perfect.
Okay. See, you notice there's a big break after that. So that's a little aside. One of the most difficult things that humans have struggled with since the beginning of time, and the greatest minds that have ever lived have tried mightily to resolve this conundrum and really have gotten nowhere. Everyone that's ever lived. And they're trying to give you the means to get over that long-standing roadblock to progress in your relationship with God and in your understanding of yourself and the world that you live in. The fact of experiential deity is so, it's such uncharted space, in human history. And it's the key to resolving many of these long-standing conundrums. Obviously, closely tied to these thoughts is, why do bad things happen to good people? All those sorts of perplexing issues. If you can begin to stop thinking in such simplistic terms about God and yourself and the universe, stretch your consciousness out and see the bigger picture, it'll start to make sense. You notice how it's a pretty challenging and it's a lecturing tone that they're taking, and it's like, for crying out loud, people, okay? You need to stop this and you need to stop it now. We need to make some progress here. Get this into your consciousness and let's move on, okay? We can't spend forever now asking these same questions over and over and over about why isn't this perfect, if God is so great.
I noticed in here, in the second paragraph in the middle, they say, when viewing the turmoil, imperfections, and inequities, they don't say inequalities, they say inequities, mm-hmm. of Urantia, yeah. to conclude that your world has been made,
Right. Right, you start to, because
we
tried
use inequality,
right.
in modern day,
yeah.
Yeah. and we've been using it for a long time.
Right, you know how often I've been trying to get everyone to notice and reflect on these, because it's just the difference between those two words is a transformative part of your journey. If you can begin to distinguish those two in your mind, you're beginning to have more than mere spiritual consciousness. Which was, upstepped 2,000 years ago. You're beginning to challenge yourself to bring material and spiritual consciousness together into a cosmic consciousness. Things as simple as that. And notice they couldn't resist. It's an aside, but the last thing that they do is challenging to get right back into the mode of thinking about the precise details of the cosmic system that we live in. Did you notice what they did there at the end? There's three things.
Yeah.
Right? The fact that they used a rather curious expression of pre-infinite should have given you pause and made you dissect what was going on. Okay? Sub-absolute, pre-infinite, and other than perfect. Okay, one at a time. The creators, and you and I, you know, the creatures as well, are sub-absolute. That's the fact of it. Yeah. But all these sub-absolute creators and creatures are moving towards the infinite all are. We're all pre-infinite. The truth of it, see, the fact, we're sub-absolute, but in truth, we're pre-infinite. Fact, truth. Okay. And then it also should, you know, you should have gone, well, now, if it was perfect, infinite, and absolute, and they're just contrasting, why wouldn't they have said imperfect here? Why did they say other than perfect?
Because of the seven absolute perfection elements. This is still one of them.
No, we're trying. They're trying to get us to have a new thought. Remember, this is evolutionary experiential deity. That's what we're talking about. Evolutionary.
We're perfecting.
Perfecting. Right. The true contrast, you know, is not imperfect. Okay? It is other than perfect, but that doesn't mean that it's imperfect.
Right.
It means it's perfecting. Okay? See, very purposeful. And you notice they didn't just say, they want you to stop. It's like, okay, why did they say that? And they want you to work through it, and they want you to come to that realization. It's like, I get it. If you can experientially have that discovery yourself, then you have it. If they just say it, it goes in one ear and out the other. And they're trying to challenge you to stop and not go on until you've added something, until the space has gotten a little bit bigger. Yeah. All right, so if it's fact, truth, you know, goodness. How many times have we pointed this out? I mean, out here, good and perfecting are synonyms. You know, in Havona, it's perfect or perfected. But see, that's, so it's fact, truth, goodness. See? It's the threefold actuality that they're, you know, challenging you to see, just in the way they constructed that little thing in passing. You know, they never miss an opportunity to try to get you to really engage this threefold picture. Like we've been talking about all this previous paper, that's the gateway to beginning to have this new understanding that really takes you out of mere spiritual consciousness with some sort of rationalization scheme that attaches on some matter here and there, you know, often in a negative way. You know, matter's evil. They're trying to get you out of that mode. Okay, so it's just really fun there that that they did that, because you know they could have said sub infinite, they didn't, they said pre infinite, so it's truth, not just fact. Mm-hmm. All right.
Experiential growth implies creature creator partnership, God and man in association. Growth is the earmark of experiential deity. Havona did not grow. Havona is and always has been. It is existential like the everlasting gods who are its source. But growth characterizes the grand universe.
It just, this, you know, they don't waste any time. Immediately they start to build upon what you should have recognized at the end of that last sentence. That what other than perfect means is perfecting. You know, and our pithiest little two-word technical definition of growth is what? Anyone remember? Perfecting spirit is You know, the shortest way that you could define what growth is, technically. You know, there's perfecting spirit, you know, creating progressing mind, you know, et cetera, you know, moving down that hierarchy. Okay. Perfecting spirit is growth. So, see, that's why immediately they talk about growth. You know, if what's good is that which is perfecting, you know, what do you call it and what exactly is perfecting? You know, fundamentally, it's the spirit. It's the relationship with unity that is perfecting. Okay. So growth, perfecting spirit, a perfecting relationship with unity. That's the, like you're pointing out, that's the fundamental, you know, character that comes from the fact that it's not existential, it's experiential, it's an evolutionary phenomenon.
So how does Havona is and always has been? I mean, if the I, when the I am, it did the I am create in Havona at the same time?
Well, you know, we usually, even though technically from a time viewpoint it all happens simultaneously, logically there's a sequence. You know, you start with the I am, you know, and then you move forward, and you eventually have the seven absolutes of infinity. And once you have the seven absolutes of infinity, you have Havona as an immediate concomitant with the God of action. You know, the first direct expression of that action is the manifestation of this existential place, Havona, where back then, it was just good, you know, goodness equals perfect. You know, they're created perfect. But they're still experiential. But they experience from a perfect starting point. Yeah. And they go forward from that starting point. We start our relationship with the experiential deity as a perfecting phenomenon, and we build on that. You know, and the reason that Grand Fanda and now everyone since come into relationship with Havona is the superadditive consequence of the relationship between that which is perfecting and that which is perfect is that which is perfected. In order for you to eventually be a perfected being, you know, in the finite sense, you have to come into relationship with that which is perfect existentially. Yeah. But, you know, it's kind of getting off to the, you know, the rest of the story, but that's, you know, so they're bringing in that basic picture. Okay, so it's perfecting. Now we've got this, the title, you know, we've been, the previous paper was the supreme being, the he, you know, which was really only there in the absonite, and now we're really wanting to come down, and the question is, why, when they come down a notch, do they focus just on the Almighty Supreme and not, you know, not the Universal Mother, for instance? Why does it go from he to it? And we'll see as they develop it why that, you know, that's the baby step that they give you next in this journey to get to the center of these five papers, you know, where you finally, you know, have the individuality of the whole, you know, that focus point, God the Mother. Okay, so why is the next step this? Let's see where they go. Yeah. Oh, let me.
I want to make a statement and ask a question. So, my men's book club, we read The Rational Optimist this last month, and we talked about it at the book club this week. And the person that wrote this book gave a 1,000-year view on the progress of the world and how it's gotten better and better. And then as it got closer to now, he started in actually 1955 with a lot of details about things like longevity, improvement in education across the planet, the amount of time it took for you to be able to pay for reading by a light bulb 100 years ago compared to what it costs today, food production in 1790, 74% of your disposable income went to food. Today, it's in the world, it's 14%. And as we were talking about this 1,000-year advance, it became so clear to me the Supreme Being in action. Yeah. And that how this, the whole evolution of this world, and if you just look at the details of the evolution of the world, the hand of God is woven all through it. But a big part of this book talks about the collective nature of mankind and the ability of the collective nature of mankind to solve problems and the advancement through the growth of the individual into the collective of mankind and the movement forward through that collective of mankind. And it just dawned on me for the first time, really watching the hand of the Supreme on this planet, if you do a 1,000-year history of what's taken place. It's absolutely incredible.
Right. The challenge is to see if you can begin to see it more and more in the moment. I mean, obviously, most people can't see it until you take a 1,000-year viewpoint. Now work on eternalizing your consciousness. And what that means is you're not actually going this way. You're going to where you can see the Supreme, acting right now. You begin to strike step with the flow that is right now. Can you begin to see that? That's what the challenge is that they're putting in front of you. To really start to have that cosmic, viewpoint that sees it even now, not just in the big span. Here, before we get off, he's got the...
The question, in the simplest of terms, so even I could understand it, mm-hmm. Could you just, three sentences on each, which differentiates the difference between the Almighty Supreme, God the Supreme, the Supreme Being?
We're getting there. Most of that's going to come out in the discussion. But God the Supreme is the unity viewpoint name. The Supreme is a facet of deity. The personalization of that deity is God the Supreme. That's a unity viewpoint, top-down viewpoint. The individuality viewpoint, when you're seeing it as a finished fact, is the Supreme Being. So God the Supreme, Supreme Being, unity and individuality names. But down in the finite, you've got three things. That's what we're about to talk about. You have the Universal Mother, the Almighty Supreme, and the Supreme Mind. Okay. The Supreme Being is an absonite individuality. The Universal Mother, the Almighty Supreme, and the Supreme Mind are the expressions to varying degrees that manifest in the finite, not just above the finite. And then you'll begin to get a better appreciation as we go forward. I'll be talking about it a lot. Here, over here.
You talk about five papers, but I only see four. Which one are you saying is the fifth paper about the Supreme?
Not about the Supreme. I mean, even the fourth one is not about the Supreme. Really, totally. There's five papers. It's about experiential deity.
So we're starting to...
Supreme Being, Almighty Supreme, God the Supreme, Supreme and Ultimate, and the Bestowals.
Okay, so that's your fifth paper.
This is a Pentateuch, just like at the beginning of the book.
You, in answering Mo's question, you refer to the Supreme working in the world, those three aspects. Mm-hmm. The Supreme Mind, the Almighty Supreme, and God the Mother, right?
Or the Universal Mother, to use it.
Yeah. So, can I tag those to matter, mind, and spirit? Or mind, no. Matter, and spirit? Can't do it that way.
No. I mean, kind of, sort of. You'll see the qualifications of that that come up as we go forward.
Okay.
I mean, it's because you're dealing with... the super additive aspect of the finite. You need to give it a little leeway so it isn't, you don't think of it too simplistically, matter, mind, and spirit, because in a sense we're bringing this all together.
The absolute realm.
Yeah, you're bringing it all together. It's a power personality synthesis.
But while it's acting in the world.
But yeah, you can obviously see. You can see how there's shades of that. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Chris, you said supreme being, almighty supreme, God the supreme, and what else did you say?
Well,
it's the titles of the papers.
Wait, you're talking about the five papers?
Yeah. I mean, I thought you said supreme being.
Just look at the last five papers of part three. That's what they are.
I did. I mean, okay. It's
supreme being. No. The supreme being is the first one.
Okay.
And then the next four. Almighty supreme is this one.
Okay.
And then God the supreme.
Right.
And then there's that supreme and ultimate paper.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the stole paper.
Stole is a price point.
Yeah.
You know, you keep using God the mother.
We got to get there.
This is really bugging me because I've gone through and looked through these papers, and you use the word God the Mother more in one group than they do in all four papers.
We're going to talk about that in just a second.
I brought that up.
And you got to be patient because they're building you to that. Like I tried to point out, they're trying to take it one step at a time. They give you God the Supreme, and now they're trying to unravel God the Supreme. One step at a time, starting with the thing that you can understand the most easily, the supreme being. That's the easiest thing to understand first, because that's basically just a finite expression of the universal Father, total finite, immediate absolute expression. You know, like they told you, if you try to stretch your consciousness towards the recognition of the universal Father, in actuality, the most that you could possibly get into your viewfinder is the supreme being. You can't see past that, because to see past that would mean that you're more than a finite being. Okay, so that's why they start that. You know, just take the infinite, absolute, universal Father, and make it the biggest finite thing that you could possibly imagine. Okay, and actually know, and that's the supreme being. And then they go to this next step. They're slowly. It's like peeling skins on an onion. They're trying to peel away what you can understand first. It's an evolutional revelation, remember. They're trying to evolve you. You're not supposed to be able to understand it yet. The only reason I talk about it a lot is because we spent 6 weeks on the Total Deity paper, so we have a little bit of an antecedent following that we can work with. We don't have to be totally ignorant as we're reading this. We know where they're taking us. And I can point out as we're going along all of the things that are pointing you there. You know, now, when you know what you're heading towards, your eyes are open toward it, and you see, if I just connect all of these dots, I get there. You know, it's an inexorable process. They're trying to take you from where we begin to where they want to get us, from spiritual consciousness to cosmic consciousness, which takes you from the Father to the Mother, inexorably. Just follow the breadcrumbs. Okay, I can't even remember where we were now. Let's see. Do you remember?
The Almighty Supreme
is, there? Okay.
Is a living and evolving deity of power and personality. His present domain, the grand universe, is also a growing realm of power and personality. His destiny is perfection, but his present experience encompasses the elements of growth and incomplete status. The Supreme Being functions primarily in the central universe as a spirit personality, secondarily in the grand universe as God the Almighty, a personality of power.
Okay, we need to stop right there before we do the rest of it. Okay, let's bring in what we sort of were presaging here so far tonight. Supreme Being functions primarily in the central universe as a spirit personality. Okay, you know, they tell you point blank, when you go to Havona, you're not going to experience the Supreme Being. Why? Because of what we just said. You don't have, even then, an absentite mode of reality perception. You know, like we were saying. You have a finite mode. You will not experience the Supreme Being there. But the absentite beings that are there do. Okay, what do they experience? They experience, just like they're saying here, as a spirit personality. Well, more precisely, they experience a focalized spirit personality, the supreme being. From the finite mode of reality perception, you drop it down a notch, what do you experience? What do you see? You see a focalizing spirit personality. The focalized spirit personality is the supreme being. The focalizing spirit personality is the universal mother. And again, how do you know that? You go all the way through, you connect all the dots, and you come back here and you read this and you name it what you've discovered, you know, after you've gone through the papers. You don't know it here yet, but you know it back through the second time.
Chris, this process that, you know, I brought up the same question, similar question that Mo did last week, but I realized some things last week, a larger picture, and I'm realizing something more now that I remember when they talk about the Creator's Son and the Mother Spirit when they first came to start this universe back in, what, section 2 of the book, mm-hmm. that it was very much similar to what you're describing here. And this mother aspect just, you know, it just wasn't there right immediately. It was like coming together.
Right. Who came out from
over
paradise?
Time, over long periods of time.
The Creator Son's companion that came out from paradise had what name as a type name?
Michael.
No. That came out with the Creator Son. Who was that companion? What type of being came out with the Creator Son? No. No mother. What type of being came out? A creative spirit came out.
Creative spirit, yeah.
It's, you know, it is only a creative spirit. Okay. It's only when, when you add what the Trinity adds to that spirit deity, downstepped expression of the infinite spirit, that it becomes a creative mother spirit. Mother is a type of deity. Just like, you know, thus the Father, the Son, the Spirit, the Supreme, the Ultimate, all those different types of deity. Okay. The Mother is a type of deity, and it's added to the Spirit.
And it brings it out right from the beginning, like I told you last week, with the Eternal Son. It says in the Eternal Son.
Right, the same thing happened there. Initially, you had just the Eternal Son and just the Infinite Spirit. But then they added mother-type deity to their nature. They added experiential-type deity to their existential deity. They became experiential-existential deity. The Eternal Son is the name for just the existential deity. The Eternal Mother Son is the name for the experiential-existential deity. Post-Havona experience, fact. They've added mother-type deity to their nature. Now, this is the challenge, to recognize that words aren't just poetic color in the book. They're very precise, technical words. If they use the word mother, it's a literal fact in the universe. It's not just wishful thinking, I wish I could call that being a mother. No, it has to somehow be literal. Okay. That's what we, you know, discovered back when we went through totally. We finally discovered, you know, precisely how that type of deity relates to total deity. You know, just like we discovered the full nature of the Father type deity. You know, that is a heck of a lot more than just the universal Father that goes into making that type of deity. You know, a Creator Son is two types of deity together as one. The Father and the Son types of deity stuck together and then personalized as a Creator Son. You know, and the Creative Mother Spirit is the Spirit and the Mother stuck together and then personalized. One is a first source personality and one's a third source personality. The personality that grabs a hold of that together as one type deity, you know, and makes a focused expression out of it. So, this is the key. Begin to just see that.
I'm sorry, I just got to push a little harder on this.
Yes.
I'm trying to go between what is your personal opinion and what I read exactly in the book. So, just let me ask my question. God the Mother is not in the index once.
Yes, it is.
I just looked it up in the index.
Well, it may not be in the index, but it's, we're coming to it.
Okay, but just hang with me.
Okay.
And on the mother, on the index, doesn't mean the index is a concordance, because it's not. Right. So there may, this is the index authors panning out what they thought was right. A concordance might have something different. But I didn't see mother once in any of those four papers in the index. Now, maybe it is. But so here's my question. Okay. Are you saying that when the Supreme Being actualizes, instead of being some kind of new being, not father, not mother, but something else, it will be mother-like?
No. Okay. No. No. That's what I've been trying to say over and over and over again. The Supreme Being is a He. The Supreme Being is a He.
So what is God the Mother you keep referring
to? The Universal Mother is a She. And the Almighty Supreme is an It. There are three individuality names associated with God the Supreme. And the way to begin to understand why there's three is to first recognize that they're actually one and two. The He is an absonite He. There is no finite He. The Supreme Being is an absonite fact. Okay? But there are two finite facts. One's a She and one's an It. Okay? The Universal Mother and the Almighty Supreme. Okay? And they're introducing the first one here, and in the next paper, they introduce the Universal Mother. First, they introduce the It, and then they introduce the She. One step at a time. They do He, and then It, and then She. And then begin to see why they did it in that order is to recognize how it's evolutional. They have to start with He, because that's where we start. All we know is the Universal Father. All we know is the big He. Okay? And they've got to slowly take us one step at a time, see if they can get us to see the other half of the picture. Because, you know, prior to the fifth epical revelation, mankind is only known about half of the picture. All they've really known about is the existential half. There's a whole experiential half that's been missing, you know, that's led to endless conundrums, like they pointed out in the first two paragraphs. Okay? And I'll say it again, just so you have this picture. It's a very symmetric picture. You have an umbrella, expression, God the Father, on the existential side. And underneath that, there are three focused, you know, or circumscribed expressions. And the universe, the God the Father wraps around the entire infinite eternal ellipse. But the Son, the Spirit, and the Isle, the eternal Son, the infinite Spirit, and the Isle of Paradise, don't wrap all the way around the ellipse. They're localized in the infinite eternal ellipse. So under that one existential umbrella, there's these three existential sub-expressions. God the Son, God the Spirit, and the Isle of Paradise. Okay, on the other side, there's an umbrella again, God the Mother. And under that, there's three expressions. God the Supreme, God the Ultimate, and God the Absolute. And it's very parallel. The Son and the Supreme, the Spirit and the Ultimate, the Isle and the Absolute. You know, the Isle, you know, just think about how those two are in relationship. The Isle, from your initial limited viewpoint, it's like person, person, thing. Well, not quite. Okay? You know, personality, personality, pattern. Okay? And they tell you point blank that the substance that's made real by that pattern, the substance of the Isle, is different from the substance of the Eternal Son in name only, even to the highest beings, you know, that the authors have ever talked to. Okay? So, how different is the purposing that gets applied to those two substances then? Okay? That's how, you know, when you go all the way to that level, the difference between personality and pattern starts to be only discernible by absolute beings. Okay? Same way over here. You know, you have the Supreme, the Ultimate, and remember, to make the Absolute that type of deity and then to personalize it as God the Absolute, you have to bring the Deity Absolute, the Universal Absolute, and the Unqualified Absolute together. Well, the unqualified absolute's a non-deity absolute. And so, you know, remember when we read that, you know, even the beings, the authors have written the book going, and we just don't really understand that. How do you make a God out of something that's not deity? I thought God was personalized deity, but the unqualified absolute is a non-deity absolute. Well, it's the same thing as the aisle. See? Okay? It's a very parallel set. And, you know, if we wanted to really go to the next notch, you could, you know, you could go back and look at total deity, and you could start to really see just, you know, when you actually define those facets with, you know, with our, you know, the nomenclature that we developed, you know, in that total deity paper, you'd see how parallel they are. Yeah. This is the picture that they're trying to get us to, but we are so far removed. We don't even know about any, you know, we don't even know about the supreme, let alone the ultimate, the absolute, and the umbrella. And I mean, we just know nothing about that. You know, we didn't even really have the sun, the spirit, and the aisle. We just had some vague anthropomorphic guy with a beard that we called God the Father. I mean, that's where they're starting from. Okay? I mean, they got a long ways to go to get this whole picture, see? And that's why they're so methodical about this. You know, they're trying to slowly lead you through. And if you challenge, you know, if you try to answer the question why to every sentence as we read, you'll see something starts to form. You know, that's what I've been trying to do as we're going through this. It's very obvious what things, it's like, well, I know what that is, but so what's that then? You know, and you just keep following that. You know, and you finally get to the central paper and they give it a name. That thread you've been following, they give it the name Universal Mother. All right.
Now I don't know where I am.
I think we're on the last paragraph now.
Tertiary.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's right. Wait, that's right. Hold on. We can't go forward yet because I got to. Okay. I needed to. The whole point of stopping us there was okay, so you have the Supreme Being, you know, as a focalized spirit personality. Down a notch, the focalizing spirit personality is the Universal Mother. Okay, secondarily in the grand universe as God the Almighty, a personality of power. Okay, God, you know, means personalized deity, God, a personality. The of Almighty power. Okay, so just okay. It's, you know, God the Almighty, a personality of power. Just rewording it. This is the only place in the entire book that they use the expression God the Almighty. One time in the entire book. Okay. Only once. Why? Why doesn't it occur 1,000 times so that it's in the index? Because remember what they're challenging us for? We're quivering on the very brink of being desirous of quality thinking, not just quantity. Okay? It's very purposeful. They want God the Mother appears only once in the book. And God the Almighty appears only once in the book. God the Supreme, lots of times. But that truer understanding of what you really have engaging you in the finite, each of the two sides, God the Mother and God the Almighty, is only one time in the entire book. Because they want you to get to the point where you recognize it doesn't matter if it's written in there one time or 1,000 times. There's no difference. In quality. The quality of the fact of God the Mother, once you see it, you know, is independent of the number of times that it's used. That's what they're trying to get you to do. Can you recognize it for the quality of it, in spite of the fact that it didn't cater to your sense of, well, you know, if a million people believe it, you know, it's got to be right. That sort of quantity-like thinking. Can you challenge yourself out of that mode? That's what they're trying to do. Very purposely. For those who aren't ready to take that step, They've made it very easy for you to just totally miss the whole picture. You'll just get the fifth epical revelation of God the Father, and that'll be a huge step forward. But for those who would like to get more of the picture, don't just want even more spiritual consciousness, which they might, you know, get astray with. Yeah, then you have to start noticing details. You know? And these are the kind of techniques they use. Now, it's just like the parables. The book is written just exactly the way Jesus would construct a parable, where only those who had ears to hear are going to hear it. Because it's to force feed revelation is to be in rebellion. It is fundamentally evolutional. That's what we're reading about. Evolutionary experiential deity. That's the reality of the domain we live in. Any being, any creator being, or even associate of those creator beings that tries to force, you know, against the evolutionary fact of the domain is in rebellion. That's why Jesus made those parables like that. You know, everyone is always, see, you know, just like these first two paragraphs, for 2,000 years, scholars have pondered, why didn't Jesus just make it clear? Why did he make it so that purposely people could misconstrue it? You know, or just totally not get it and walk away, you know, disappointed. Why did he do that? Why wouldn't he make sure that, you know, everyone that he possibly could get his hands on, you know, why did he make it so they could easily be disappointed and walk away, or easily misunderstand it and be hateful in response? Why did he do that? You know, again, it's just like these first two paragraphs. This is the answer, because we don't live in a purely existential fiat reality. We live in an evolutionary reality. Yeah. And Jesus was trying to give people something that was real. And it's only real if they've acquired it experientially and through growth, like they just said. If you don't grow to acquire it, it's not real. And if they were responsible for you getting something in your head that you didn't achieve through growth, then they're in rebellion. That's the way it works. So, all right, so again, see, God the Almighty is just one time here. The personality of power. Now see, as they go forward, what else they bring in.
The tertiary function of the Supreme in the Master Universe is now latent, existing only as an unknown mind potential. No one knows just what this third development of the Supreme Being will disclose. Some believe that when the universes are settled in light and
super
life,
universes.
Pardon?
The super universes.
When the super universes are settled in light and life, the Supreme will become functional from Uversa as the Almighty and experiential sovereign of the grand universe, while expanding in power as the super Almighty of the outer universes. Others speculate that the third stage of supremacy will involve the third level of deity manifestation, but none of us really know.
Okay, now that last little bit, they gave you the two endpoints of the speculation. The first is just simply taking what's obvious in front of you as a finite being. You know, it doesn't matter if you're a mighty messenger or who you are, divine counselor or whatever, just taking what's obvious to you, you know, from a finite perspective and extrapolating it. So that was that first one. You know, and they talk about that. Why? You know, because the seventh super universe is a Father, Son, Spirit, you know, together for this Master Spirit. It seems logical that this would be the seat for the Supreme Being, and you know, then you just extrapolate the Almighty into the Super Almighty, etc. It's just a simple extrapolation, logical perspective. The other one is, well, what if it's sort of the opposite of that? You know, what if it's it really does, you know, it's going to be fundamentally involved stuff that has really no relationship to anything I see right now. What if it's like what they talk about? You know, this whole bit about will involve the third level of deity manifestation. That's God the Absolute. Okay. If you flip back, it's in the single column, it's 1172. It's paper, what paper is this? This is paper 106, section 8. Right before the, in all caps, the third level. See there in section 8? That paragraph right before. You see how the word, how magistine is in there. That's our destination here. I just wanted to read you. This is what they're invoking in that second, the other endpoint of the speculation. Regardless of any conceptual difficulty in understanding the complete Trinity of Trinities, the personal association of these three deities on the second level has become manifest in our own universe age in the phenomenon of the deitization of Magistan, who was actualized on this second level by the deity absolute acting through the ultimate and in response to the initial creative mandate of the supreme being. Okay, deity absolute, the fundamental component going into the absolute, God the absolute. So it's in that sense, the way they bring God the absolute, God the ultimate, and God the supreme together there in relationship to understanding the appearance of Magistan, which, remember, they told you, you took everything that you had in front of you and nothing of an extrapolation nature led you to conclude, that Magistan was about to appear. See, that's what they're invoking here. They're saying most likely what's going to be, the primary movers and shakers, in the age to, towards the end of this age, is going to be a Magistan-like manifestation, stuff having to do with nothing that you see in front of you right now. Out of the blue, it will come. Okay.
But he's the chief of the spirits of reflectivity.
Right. So and the key here, though, is not that. The key, I was just going to mention, we're going to come up to it a little bit later in this paper. The relationship of Magistan to Supreme Mind. To the Supreme Mind. That's what they're, why they say this. And again, you don't know that until you get a little further in the paper. Yeah. But that's, so that's the whole thing. They're that Magistan, they understand in a real top-down way. See, they don't understand Magistan in a bottom-up way. You take all the bottom-up and you don't get anything like Magistan. It's like boink out of nowhere from a bottom-up viewpoint. You can only understand Magistan if you go absolute, absonite, down to the total finite to understand it. And they're saying that most likely you're going to have that again. You're going to have this vast downreach from above that's going to suddenly manifest down below. And from a bottom-up viewpoint, it's going to be, where did that come from? It came out of nowhere. It's very top-down. That's what they're pointing out there. So it's the bottom-up viewpoint and the top-down speculation. All right, let's hear. Why don't you just go ahead and read some more, Gene? Let's get into the Supreme Mind here.
One, the Supreme Mind. The experience of every evolving creature personality is a phase of the experience of the Almighty Supreme. The intelligent subjugation of every physical segment of the superuniverses is a part of the growing control of the Almighty Supreme. The creative synthesis of power and personality is a part of the creative urge of the Supreme Mind, and it is the very essence of the evolutionary growth of unity in the Supreme Being.
Okay. First thing, just again, the net title of the paper, and I didn't mention it because I wanted to kind of bring these two together. If you look at that second to the last paragraph in the preface, where it said the Almighty Supreme is a living and evolving deity of power and personality, his present domain. And you've been listening to me saying it, and you're going, wait a minute, why are they using he? Well, it's like I said, you'll see how they're using it. It's like, well, if you must start with your he of the Supreme Being, and if you must still make it he down, when it's downstepped, you could think of the Almighty Supreme as he-like, but they'll immediately begin to temper that, you'll see as they go forward here. And you'll see why that is in just the next paragraph. So that's what they're initially doing here. They're trying to give us this little baby step of kind of just downstepping the he part. Instead of calling it the Supreme Being, we're going to call it the Almighty Supreme. And then we're going to notice how limited that idea is if you try to run with it. And just notice that they're already qualifying just right here. The creative synthesis of power and personality is a part of the creative urge of the Supreme Mind. Okay, well, what's the rest of it then? Okay, if this power personality synthesis, the Almighty Supreme phenomenon, is just a part of this encompassing and creative motivation of the Supreme Mind, what's the rest of it? So you notice how they just they left you a dangling hole there. Okay, if the Almighty Supreme is part, what's the other part called? They don't tell you right here, but you know what the other part is. It's the Universal Mother. But you don't know that completely until you get to the next paper. Okay. All right, Jason, you had something?
Yeah, it's because you went back to the last, the preface.
Yeah.
Just really quickly, it said in that last paragraph about the God, the Almighty,
right?
A personality of power.
Right.
I've never heard it, personality of power.
Right, and just the idea there, we went, I kind of gave you the final perspective. When you sum all this up, like we did in the Total Deity paper, what you recognize is you have God. You have the word God the Supreme, the overall word. And in terms of God the Supreme, if you want to focus on the power pattern face, if you will, of God the Supreme, you call that God the Almighty. Personality of power.
Right.
If you want to focus on the personal purposive face instead of the power pattern face, that's God the Mother. So it's just like having God the Father is the face that turns towards the Eternal Son. The Universal Father is the face of God the Father that turns toward the Eternal Son. The face of God the Father that turns towards the Paradise Isle is the Universal Controller. And again, that's nowhere in any of the initial papers of the book. It's not till you get to Deity and Reality, way deep into the book, that they tell you that for the first time. And they tell you one time. Okay? And they do that because, initially it's too complicated for people to think of all these different things. The six different facets of God the Father. The best they can wrap their mind around is Universal Father, but they let it build. And eventually when they think they're ready, they hit you with Deity and Reality paper, and they give you the whole picture. And you discover if you want to be really precise about it, the Universal Father faces the Eternal Son, and the Universal Controller faces the Isle. And that's kind of coming up in this paper too with... when you talk about the creator side and the controller side of God the Sevenfold.
When you were talking about quality and quantity in this mm-hmm. paragraph you just read, are they emphasizing the quality of personality by making a distinction here, calling it a phase, and the other power as a part? In other words,
oh,
personality mm-hmm. is not just a part. Mm-hmm. It's a quality that impacts the whole to make it the Almighty Supreme go through a phase. And then the other thing isn't that a huge statement there? The first sentence, the experience of every evolving creature personality. So we have like 7 trillion worlds mm-hmm. when it's all built out. Mm-hmm. And then all the mortals... on each one of those worlds. That means trillions upon trillions of phases. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, the complexity here is extreme. right. The experience of every evolving creature personality is a phase. We're just about to talk about the parts. You know, and they just gave you that little reminder, like you're saying. I mean, when you're thinking about the unity aspect rather than the individuality aspect, the individuality aspect is summarized, okay? But the unity aspect is focalized. And so you think of it just like we talk about when you talk, you know, deity is unity. So you can't, it's not proper to talk about different parts of deity. Deity's unity. So what word do you use? It's not monolithic. Think of it like a crystal. It's a single crystal, but it has facets. You know, there's one deity, but it has many faces, many facets. There's this, if you take the totality of deity and you rotate it like this, you're looking at the Father facet. There's the Supreme facet. There's the sevenfold facet, you know, etc. It has all these different faces, facets. And so they're very careful about, you know, not using like part there, because that would, you know, that would be a false expression of the truth of it.
You know, I was thinking about what you said earlier about how they use the Supreme Being many times in the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, I started to get a pattern in my mind, because I think they're trying to paint a picture for us. They're trying to paint, what does it say about the adjuster, the picturizations? Mm-hmm. These are, you know, and if they got to be careful with coining phrases and names too often, because that can stamp a ledge in our mind, and it can be a dogma. And see, what's happening with the Supreme Being, it's at the absonite level. It's outside of time and space. It's outside this universe age, basically. Mm-hmm. So, but these other names and designations that are within this functioning within this time and space mm-hmm. realm, they've got to be careful about tagging those, because they've got to remain flexible enough for us to, you know, that's our touchstone, that's our goal, so that we're continuing toward that high destiny of the Absonite, the Supreme Being. So they keep, you know, tagging that Supreme Being, because that's beyond distortion for our minds.
Right, and it's
beyond our thinking minds. It's beyond the master spirit, seventh master spirit mind realm.
And they only, you know, like, and see, they're very gentle about it. They only finally give a definitive name to some of these other aspects of the whole. Once, you know, if you've done the work and carefully put things together, so that when you finally put a label on it, it's not a distortion.
Right.
You know, you're labeling what it really is. Now, and very, very much, that when they want you to finally consciousize the expression God the Mother, they don't really, really don't want you to have an anthropomorphic she, exalted
right.
anthropomorphic she notion in your head.
Right.
I mean, there's a measure of validity to thinking of Universal Father as that, you know, anthropomorphic exalted he, mm-hmm. but not at all. You're totally missing the point. If you just try to create this false pairing of an anthropomorphic he and an anthropomorphic she, you're missing the whole point. And so they're very gentle about that. If you haven't kind of got that all built up, you dismiss that and you don't falsely label. Remember that they tell you right in the first page of the book that they know that no matter how careful they were, what you're going to get is more or less distortion of meaning.
Right.
But they try really hard to make it at least just less and not more all the time mm-hmm. by carefully constructing it so that, you know, it's only if you're just hopelessly pathological that you're going to go more, 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 more distortion, you know, every time you turn a page.
Right.
They try to, you know, shield you from that. Okay. So you've got that So the creative, you know, is a part. You know, the one part is the Almighty Supreme. What's the other part? And then the other thing there is, okay, the Almighty Supreme here is the very essence of the evolutionary growth of the unity of the Supreme Being. Essence, you know, beingness. Remember the sum-ating, making the sum substance? Okay, here it is again. Substance, essence. Okay, why? Let's read the next paragraph.
The union of the power and personality attributes of supremacy is the function of supreme mind. And the completed evolution of the Almighty Supreme will result in one unified and personal deity, not in any loosely coordinated association of divine attributes. From the broader perspective, there will be no Almighty apart from the Supreme, no Supreme apart from the Almighty.
Okay. Point now is to see how, why they took this step of downstepping the actual he, the Supreme Being, into this momentary he until you can build the rest of the picture up, the Almighty Supreme. I mean, the easiest way to think about what the Almighty Supreme represents as you get to what the picture they're just painting here, when all is said and done with the finite. The Almighty Supreme is the body, the substance of the Supreme Being. Okay? You know, it's, you know, it's just like when you look over here, you know, you see this substance. You see my body. It's only when you penetrate more subtly and carefully and deeply that you see my personality, my purposing. Okay? That's why they're doing this. I mean, the easiest way to begin to understand the relationship between the Almighty Supreme and the Supreme Being is the Almighty Supreme is the body. Okay? And how does this picture, you know, let's make this picture more complete. You have the finite upholder. Okay? And upon that, you place the parts of power personality synthesis. The Almighty Supreme. Remember that these parts of the Almighty Supreme are these summarizations, you know, the power personality synthesis parts. You lay it on the upholder, which is the focalizer, and it brings all those parts together into one body. Okay? Those parts of power personality synthesis, the Almighty Supreme, are focalized by the Universal Mother, the focalizer. Now, how then do you kind of get a better understanding of, you have the Supreme Being, and if you downstep the Supreme Being and you get the Universal Mother and the Almighty Supreme, how do you think about those two coming together into that one fact? If, you know, if the Almighty Supreme is going to be the substance of the Supreme Being, the body, how does this get in? Well, in this is a purposed fact. The Supreme Being is a purposed fact. Where did the purposing come from? You've got the body. What about the purposing that's engaged to that body? Yeah, you downstep. You know, and it splits apart. You have the power purposing. I mean, the personality purposing part and the power pattern part. Okay, power pattern part is the body, the Almighty Supreme. You know, the Universal Mother is the personal purposing part of the Supreme Being. They split apart when you downstep. You know, and you can see why it is, you know, you can understand how there's two separate things. You've got all these parts. What focalizes them? There's another part of, you know, that focalized, you know, the Supreme Being is a focalized power personality synthesis. There's two parts to it. And when you downstep that, there's the power personality synthesizing part, the Almighty Supreme, and then there's the focalizing part. Okay, so that's how you think about the two together. And so, see, when you say there will be no Almighty apart from the Supreme, no Supreme apart from the Almighty, I mean, that's pretty obvious because the Almighty is the body. Okay. Now, obviously, they go hand in hand. But it is not true that, or let me just flip it around. There will be Mother apart from the Supreme. Supreme apart from the Mother. The focalizing goes on. I mean, when all is said and done with the finite, God the Mother is the focalizing absentite upholder. See, the Mother never overarcs the whole picture. Okay? You wrap up the Almighty, yes. And, you know, once you have the Supreme Being, you know, the Almighty is not separate anymore. But the Mother goes on. Just because it's, and you'll see they give you that point, you know, again, bringing in the Supreme Mind here in just a second. So let's readdress that when we get to that point.
The times,
let's see. Yeah, throughout?
Throughout the evolutionary ages, the physical power potential of the Supreme is vested in the seven Supreme Power Directors. The mind potential reposes in the seven Master Spirits. The infinite mind is the function of the infinite spirit. The cosmic mind, the ministry of the seven Master Spirits. The Supreme Mind is in process of actualizing in the coordination of the grand universe and in functional association with the revelation and attainment of God the Sevenfold.
Okay. That last little bit should invoke the picture. Remember when we first started talking about the Almighty, we recognized how the Almighty, you know, comes, the whole process that brings the Almighty into existence. You start with the you have the creator and the controller size of the sevenfold. Down from the universal controller, down into the supreme controllers, comes that power. And then from matter through mind to spirit, you connect the supreme controllers to the supreme creators. Okay? You've got, see this whole bit about the revelation and attainment of God the sevenfold, the extent to which you have completed that linkage, like a creator son completing that linkage and becoming a master son. Okay, now you've got a complete one completed linkage there across the two sides of the sevenfold, you know, which means there's a full unimpeded flow of that power across and through and up into this level of supremacy to express as part of the Almighty. And every thread that you create, every time you complete a link, another part of the Almighty. You know, and then so we're going to have all these parts of the Almighty and they're going to be focalized into the one body of the Supreme Being. That's the process. So they're just, you know, kind of invoking all of that. You know, the seven Supreme Power Directors, that's on the controller side, parallel to the Master Spirit. Seven Master Spirits are on one side, the power Supreme Power Directors are on the other side. Just like you have the Ancients of Days in the Supreme Power Centers, you have Creator Sons and Creator Mother Spirits and the Master Physical Controllers. And obviously, see, there's a whole bunch of initial stuff, you know, at the Master Spirit and Ancient of Days level that probably gets linked together and makes Almighty, you know, in a very immediate way. You know, we don't really know much about that whole linkage there. But you'll see they start to get you to want to think about that a little bit, and we'll dabble in that thought when we get to that, you know, a little bit ahead in the paper.
The time-space mind, the cosmic mind, is differently functioning in the seven super universes, but it is coordinated by some unknown associative technique in the Supreme Being.
That we'll come back to that sentence when we get forward to what I was just saying, and we'll understand exactly what they're referring to there. But in order to understand what they're referring to there, you've got to connect some dots and put the whole finite mind picture together. You know, this from matter through mind to spirit. We need some more of that mind picture laid out. And then you can start to see, oh, what exactly they're referring to. What, you know, what coordination, you know, coordinating between what and what. And what are they talking about there? But at this point, it's just, you know, sort of this fuzzy sentence. It doesn't really mean much. You know, you have to put a lot of work in to really come back and start to think about that sentence.
The almighty over-control of the grand universe is not exclusively physical and spiritual. In the seven super-universes, it is primarily material and spiritual. But there are also present phenomena of the Supreme, which is both intellectual and spiritual.
Okay, here's where they're beginning. You know, they started you out just calling Almighty Supreme He, but they're already challenging you to start to see it a little bit more precisely. You know, this statement begins with the Almighty over control of the grand universe is not exclusively physical and spiritual. It sounds like all there is the Almighty. You know, where's the mother? But then they say, and the seven super universes is primarily material and spiritual. Okay, the Almighty, power, personality, synthesis. But there are also present phenomena of the, now see, they took the Almighty, the Supreme, which are both intellectual and spiritual. Okay. Mother deity, you know, to begin to understand the role of mother deity in the whole big picture, two initial real key ideas that you can tie to that. One we've talked about quite a bit already, the focalizing. And in our opening reflection, I open with that quote, that individuality of the whole. You know, you've got all these parts, you know, what makes individuality? You know, those parts are not connected with each other, except in relation to the whole and through the individuality of the whole. That's what focalizes them and brings them together as one. Body of the Supreme Being. So there's that. That's one of the things that the mother does, you know, is allows you and I to be connected with each other, where otherwise we would be completely island universes. We would have no idea of anyone else's existence or any other thing's existence. I wouldn't know of a single table or a single person, a single atom. I wouldn't know of anything except me and the Universal Father if it wasn't for God the Mother, the individuality of the whole.
Is that a vital distinction?
Yeah, this distinction is vital. The other thing, Mother, is very, very immediately obvious from the why they call that facet of deity the Mother, the womb. The other thing that facet of deity expresses as is a womb of mind. Okay? All mind in the universe is remember, we had focalizer, summarizer, encompasser. Okay, that, you know, and I said that was related to the Supreme Mind. Not just, you know, Supreme Mind. Remember, is not a substance. What localizes it? What contains it? So that it actually has this encompassing characteristic. There has to be a womb for mind. Okay, the other role of Mother Deity is to create that womb. Okay, and that's what they're referring to here. You have, you know, that, you know, basically, you know, when I look out in the universe, I see lots of galaxies and whatnot. Okay, I see the Almighty Supreme. I see all this power. Okay. But if I had a little bit more astute, you know, ability to recognize things, I would see something else. There are also present phenomena of the Supreme, which are both intellectual and spiritual. Remember, we even pointed out when they did that power, mind, spirit, personality hyphenated together, power, personality, synthesis, that's the almighty supreme, mind, spirit, intellectual and spiritual. Yeah, that's the mother. Okay. You have a womb of the finite. Okay, the supreme mind is enwombed, okay, by the mother. And, when we coined that term finite upholder as an obvious, once we recognized that the infinite womb was called the infinite upholder, you know, it was obvious how we coined names for the hierarchy of wombs. There's the absolute upholder, the absolute upholder, and the finite upholder. You know, and we finally understood what those, you know, what that sequence of deity names were: the evolutionary experiential deity, the transcendental experiential deity, the existential experiential deity, and the self experiential deity. It's the names for the infinite upholder, absolute upholder, absolute upholder, finite upholder. You know, we went through all that so that we could finally have names for. The name for that, you know, not only the surface that you lay the parts on so that it can be focalized upon that surface through the individuality of that surface, it's also the womb. Finite upholder is the womb of the finite. It's the universal mother. And within that womb is supreme mind. Just like the womb of the local universe is the creative mother spirit. She's not only the focalizer, but she's the encompasser of the mind of the local universe, that downstepped expression of cosmic mind. She's womb. Okay? There has to be a womb. There can't. You have to have a place, and then injected into that place is direction. You have a creative mother spirit and a creator son. Place and direction. You know that's got to come, and you know there has to be place and direction. That's what should first, to the very fact that there's a male and a female here, and you know that's a downstepped expression from the infinite level. You know that you've got to be able to go all the way up to the top and see the direction and the place. There has to be God the Father and God the Mother at the top of the whole thing. Okay, That's what they're, you know, again, see, not named yet, but pointed to. It's like, okay, in the super universe, it is primarily material and spiritual. Oh, I know the name for that. They've already used that name. That's the Almighty Supreme, Power, Personality, Synthesis. What's this other thing? What am I supposed to call this other thing? See, and they don't tell you. And they leave you dangling. They've done it several times. All you have to do is just start noticing all these times where they have something that they've described but not named yet. And if you can do, like John was pointing out, if you can methodically just keep track of every one of these things that they've described and haven't named yet, and connect the dots, and you get to the center paper, and then they finally name it. But if you haven't noticed that, you know, there's all these things that don't have a name, you know, it'll sort of just kind of, just you'll just blow through it and you won't notice it.
So they talk about it a lot.
Yeah,
name it once.
I mean, look how laborious actually it's been to go through here. I mean, it's just, you know, every sentence is like, well, wait a minute, what does that mean? You know, I mean, it's mostly a collection of questions, question marks. They're just challenging you. Can you put this picture together? Can you start to see the truth that flows through these words? And that's what they're doing. All right, so so we know, you know, what they're shooting towards. That also present. That's the universal mother, the womb. Yeah, you know, so that the word encompasser means something.
We really know less about the mind of supremacy than about any other aspect of this evolving deity. It is unquestionably active throughout the grand universe, and is believed to have a potential destiny of master universe function, which is of vast extent. But this we do know. Whereas physique may attain completed growth, and whereas spirit may achieve perfection of development, Mind never ceases to progress. It is the experiential technique of endless progress. The Supreme is an experiential deity, and therefore never achieves completion of mind attainment.
Okay, so now, can you see it now, what they're just describing there, and what all this picture we've been painting? Whereas physique may attain completed growth. Okay, what grows? The Almighty Supreme grows. That's the physique, the body, the substance. Okay? And whereas spirit may achieve perfection of development, you know, it is a, the Supreme Being is a focalized, it is a purposed fact. You know, the Universal Mother is the personality purposing, you know, aspect, and it's fully purposed when all is said and done with the finite. The Supreme Being goes forward into the absonite age as with a purpose. It's been fully purposed to represent, to be the expression of the total finite power personality synthesis, creature creator unification. Okay. That's its purpose in the absonite age, to be that. You know, the expression of that, of that synthesis and unification at the total finite level. You and I, as finaliters, will be an expression, in a little more limited sense. But there has to be one expression relative to the total finite. That's the Supreme Being. He goes forth in the absonite age as the touchstone. What does power personality synthesis, creature creator unification look like relative to total finite. Okay, so it has a body and a purpose, but that mind, that Supreme Being, has to continue to experience and progress. Yeah. And you notice they're very careful here too. Never ceases to progress. Remember, spirit perfects, mind progresses. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're very, very precise with this thing. You know, there has to be an ongoing God the Mother, or the Supreme Being couldn't have an ongoing mindful development. Okay? God the Mother goes through the whole thing. There has to always be mind encirclement, which means there has to be mind, which means, and since mind's not a substance, there has to be a casing, there has to be a womb that contains that mind. Always. The Mother goes through the whole experiential picture. You see, so that there, you know, really, you know, once you know what you're looking for, it's pretty much all wrapped up here. You've got pretty much the whole picture, you know, laid out right here. If you just, illuminate every sentence here, like we pretty much did, except for the few that we have to leave dangling because we haven't gotten all the parts yet. You'll see it gets pretty fun, and you can kind of really complete the whole picture if you just take the things that they tell you about mind. They're going to give you a little bit more clues about thinking about the wombs of mind and the relationship between, for instance, you notice in on the creator side of God the Sevenfold, you know, we always have this kind of curious thing where we have the master spirits, the ancients of days, and then there's two on that level, the creator sons and the creator mother spirits. It just seems like it's just begging to have a more complete picture, especially if you're just going to have sort of direction place. It's like, well, here's direction and direction, you know, well, what's the places relative to those two directionizing phenomena? As you go forward here in this paper, they give you a little clues. I could think about that now. Yeah. It's very fascinating. See, just how subtly they do this. And you only start to unlock this if you just don't let a sentence go. Do the best you can to answer why to each sentence. There's going to be some sentences like we had tonight that we can't really do because we don't have the whole picture yet. You know, and you certainly start, when you start reading this book for the first time, there's endless sentences like that that are just okay, and you move on to the next sentence. But, you know, you go all the way through, you start again, do not leave the same question marks behind when you go through the second time. Answer some of those questions that you had the first time through, and then go through again and again until you can answer every question mark. And really, this paper was what cracked it open for me. I'm reading this, and you know, I've been reading all the way from the beginning, and it's like, okay, da 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 da, and then I see this list in the next section. I'm like, that's intriguing. And then I go forward, and I see the list in section 5, and ooh, I've got it now. All of a sudden, I went back and I read the foreword, and it was much more obvious what was going on. It is really the key. You know, they're so emphasizing this power personality synthesis, the creator. You know, putting those two lists of 7 in parallel like that, where it's obviously power on one side and personality on the other. That's what unlocked it. For I finally saw, you know, the fundamental nature. You know, and all these things just started unlocking then once you get that in your head. Yeah. So. It's not surprising. You know, I'm a long ways away from that initial point. But it's not surprising that we would be finding so much in here. You know, and I'm in discovery mode. Remember, I'm preparing each Friday night in advance of Friday night. I can't wait to discover, you know, what's in the next sections. I have not synthesized these papers yet, like I have, you know, starting back at paper 57. You know, I haven't synthesized the stuff way back at the beginning yet. I can't wait till we get back around to the beginning. All the things I'm going to discover. You know, and it's just because, you know, there's enough of a picture now where I know I can challenge myself to answer most of the whys, and I can start to put this together. You know, so, you know, let's do that journey together. You know, to the extent to which I've walked the path, just kind of look at what path I've walked, and you try it yourself. And but it has to be growth, you know, like they said in the preface. You know, you need to do it yourself. It has to be an experience requirement on your own. You know, I've talked for an hour and a half now, and minds are, you know, jelly, you know, from all the verbiage. But, you know, that, you know, but take up that challenge, you know. Take it home, you know, and sit down yourself and see if you can. Okay, now, he made sense when he talked about that, I think. Let me see if I can go through that and understand it myself. Can I step through it and say, oh, yeah, that's that part? Okay, yeah. Can you put it together on your own? I've had to do it several times. I put it together, and then, you know, a few months go by, and then I go, how did I put that together again? You know, I just keep at myself until finally it sinks in. So it takes some effort.
So, you know, when we, after our bodies are gone, we have all we have is the mind, and the mother is holding and encompassing our mind all the way up through, even when we go out into the ultimate, even when we go out to the outer space level, she'll still be there.
Right. She's always there. We're always enwombed.
Because otherwise, we would just go we'd be going on these directions without any place to be.
Right.
And we'd be like insane. Right.
There has to be someone who makes the place to be forever and ever always, all the way around the infinite eternal ellipse. You know, just like the Father, just like there has to be that which engages and sparks you, no matter where you are in infinity and eternity, there has to be that which upholds you, holds you, and wounds you all the way around. And there is.
These controllers. Now, the Isle of Paradise, I don't think of as personality, but these others have personality like
that. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. I mean, think about the master. There's some master physical controllers, they tell you, you know, they're a machine as far as you could comprehend. You know, they're not anything that you would ever call a personality. they're a machine. A Frandalank, you know, is a machine. From anything,
a working buddy.
But
they're all about work.
Just the fact that a lot of those beings on that side, even if their personalities are third source personalities, gives them a degree of separation. Remember, the Creative Mother Spirit is a third source personality, but a very special type, they tell you, a unique type of third source personality. A third source personality that can be the point through which all first source personalities link to each other.
I jumped ahead and found God the Mother.
Section 6, next paper.
That is interesting.
I'll give you one tease out of that. One thing to contemplate out of that. Let's see if I can find it here right off
the. And Chris, they're saying then the supreme being is the mother. That's what that sentence said, literally.
Yeah, you'll just see, you know, how you. Again, they're very carefully worded. Let's not unravel them all right now. But let's see. Can I find it? Shoot, I was just gonna thought I could quickly turn to it. Maybe I can't. Here it is. The mother influence dominates the human personality throughout the local universe childhood of the growing soul. It's that one sentence in the book. You knew nothing else except that one sentence. Would you not be curious about what the mother is? It doesn't say the father influence dominates the human personality throughout the local universe childhood of the growing soul. The mother influence does. It should make you very curious. You know, very desirous to discover and begin to feel the intimacy of God the Mother as much as you do the Father. Okay, speaking of the Father, let's move into our closing reflection, where we take this, all that we've tried to reach out and grab, and let's see if you can realityize it. Use the gift from the Father. Use your personality. Take that recognition and bring it into you. Realityize it.